And now we have our second scripture reading today. It's from the book of James. And James is addressing the church in Jerusalem. James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder whenever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God. Now, James is obviously upset about something, isn't he, when he's speaking to the church there. So what does a evil wild beast, a rudder on a ship, a small fire, a deadly poison, and brackish water all have in common? These are metaphors, according to James, for an untamed tongue. James says, your tongue is responsible for both blessing and cursing. But remember that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? We used to say that as a kid. Yeah, it's so false, isn't it? That is so false. I don't know why we said that as kids. For example, being called dark meat for a nickname deeply hurt the feelings of the only darker-skinned classmate I had in my high school. His real name was Daniel, and he was adopted from the Philippines. Being called country hicks by city kids made us all feel less than in my growing up years in Iowa. Words are powerful, and they can make or break a child or a relationship, or divide a church or a nation. That is why we must think before we speak or tweet or post or Instagram. The suicide rate among young people is increasing, they think, especially due to bullying over the words that they read about themselves on the internet. Aretha Franklin passed away a few weeks ago, and she was a legendary, unique, and talented singer, songwriter, and beautiful role model of resilience. One of her biggest hits, and I think my favorite, was titled Think. And it was a song about the consequences of what we do and say. And it was featured in the Blues Brothers movie, if you've ever seen it. It's really worth watching just the video of this again, because it's so funny. But that is the theme on the front of this bulletin, kind of in her memory, I was thinking, because she started her career in a church choir, and I'm sure she probably had this scripture underneath the topic of think memorized, because it is such a famous scripture. So that you won't suffer from speaking without thinking, I encourage you to memorize the scripture in Philippians 4. Paul taught the Philippians how to be peaceful and have no anxiety, first by being thankful for everything, and then thinking about whatever is pure, noble, right, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Paul taught them to think about such things. Because if you think like this, then the words out of your mouth will have holy, healing power rather than destructive power. And so that's so true that if you fill your mind thinking all the time about all these things, there's not a lot of room then for thinking about the negative things. Using words as a holy power involves first understanding the power of words, and then using your words to provide healing, as Jesus did. Using words as a holy power means stopping the tongue from doing harm and dividing people from one another. Whenever we criticize others behind their back or try to bring others down by complaining about them to others, whenever we are silent when others are being abused, James would say we are committing a huge sin and promoting what he called a restless evil full of deadly poison. And I do believe that verbal abuse is more powerful than physical abuse. Psychological healing from repeated verbal abuse often takes much longer to heal than physical healing takes. Jesus used a wildfire image in this passage, and he said, "How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members," he said, "as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell." Now, we all know the destructive nature of fire too well, but I don't think we understand how that can come from our own mouths and set afire problems among people and a fire like within a church or within some club or society that we are part of. Jesus said, "It is not what goes into our mouths that defiles us, but the words that come out of them." And Psalm 34 says, "Then you must keep your tongue from evil and keep your lips from speaking lies." We know that a small false rumor can spread like a spark in a dry forest and become a huge wildfire of falsehood. Yet truth always takes courage and intelligence. To speak to someone face to face about something you disagree with them on takes a risk of maybe being proven wrong or embarrassed. It's a hard risk to take sometimes, especially if you have low self-esteem to begin with. People with low self-esteem tend to talk behind people's backs rather than to them directly. But talking directly is the right thing to do. Jesus had high self-esteem, and he promoted face-to-face, truthful but kind encounters. Speaking truth to power was one of the main teachings promoted by Jesus. Speaking truth to power means believing deeply in what you say and fighting every day to have that heard. It may not be popular, but it means taking a risk. It means standing up for something. Now, when we think of the phrase speaking truth to power, we might think of a symbol like this and the Black Lives Matter movement or the women's movement. But the origin of that phrase, speaking truth to power, I was surprised to find out. It was coined by the Quakers in 1950. Speaking Truth to Power was coined by Quakers. And they are so much about peace-giving and peace-loving that they used that actually as one of their themes to promote peace. And on this topic, Tavis Smiley on his PBS show a few years ago said, "Speaking truth to power means comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable." Comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. And that is actually one of the things that we are directed to do as preachers. We're supposed to afflict the comfortable. And he goes on to say, none of us has a monopoly on the truth, though. We have to remember that. None of us has a monopoly on the truth, he says. There is the truth, and there is the way to the truth. We must be humble enough to accept we only know the truth that we know at any given point on our life's journey. But the truth that we do know, we must speak it. We must have the courage to say what we see and deeply know is the truth. And I would add, and do not speak falsehoods when you know them to be false. That is sinful. Falsehoods are the kind of words that James claims comes from hell. Such falsehoods as the Sandy Hook Elementary School mass shooting was a hoax, the falsehood that the moon landing was a hoax, or that climate change is a hoax, or that you know the day this world will end. There's been many times where people have said that and gotten a lot of money and attention for saying they know the day the world will end. All of these cause pain and destruction over time if you believe and promote these false words. I have a friend whose neighbor in New Jersey sincerely believed this family radio star, Harold Camping, when he predicted on the radio over and over that the apocalypse would definitely happen on May 21st, and it would be completed by October 21st of 2011. This neighbor of my friend, he convinced his wife that they should sell all their family assets, house, car, and he quit his job. He cashed in his retirement plan, and he gave all the proceeds to Harold Camping's foundation. And even though Camping was an engineer and a self-educated Bible interpreter, he had many followers on family radio who believed his every word about being able to interpret the Bible. Sadly, that follower from New Jersey had a wife and two little girls, and when the apocalypse didn't happen, he killed himself, leaving his family destitute. Camping's fake interpretations of the Bible were the kind of false words leading to destruction that James was talking about. Words from hell that can cause major harm to many people. Okay, now that was kind of the cursing part of what the tongue is capable of doing, but let's look more at the blessing role that the tongue can play. What are some of your favorite healing words that you know from the Bible that you're able to repeat to others? Do you memorize any and share them with others? Little phrases maybe from the Bible? Think about it for a minute. Yeah, Christina?
You're a child of God and you're loved.
You're a child of God and you are loved. Yes, that's a beautiful one. Any more? Well, I thought about, these just kind of rolled out of my brain. Peace I live with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not be afraid. I am with you always to the end of the age. And have no anxiety about anything. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. I really cling on to that one. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And Jesus' words from the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I always figure if Jesus could say that from the cross, I can forgive. And be still and know that I am God. That's what I say when I'm trying to get into a centering prayer mode. Be still and know that I am God. And then love your neighbor. Any others that I missed?
Yeah. Right.
For you have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Yeah, that's a good reassurance. Because the spirit of fear leads to all sorts of problems.
We discovered from our new Bible study that the most frequently statement of God in the Bible is, I am with you.
The most frequent statement in the whole Bible they've discovered in Bible study is, I am with you.
And that's kind of the theme of our study
this year. That's the theme of their study this year. Barbara? Yes, I have a plan for you. God has a plan for you, and it is for good and not to harm you. That's very reassuring. But when you read the words of the Bible in your own language, you are tapping into that healing power of those words, and you are meant to take those words and repeat them to others, to share that reassurance that God has, that you are able to feel peace in your soul from reading those words. And so John Wycliffe, he's often credited with the first translation of the Bible into English from Latin. And Wycliffe was an advocate for translation of the Bible into the vernacular, into the language of the native peoples, wherever they are. And he completed the translation way back in 1382. Otherwise, we'd still be reading Latin today. And I have friends that worked for the Bible translating organization called Wycliffe. It still has his name on it. And for more than 70 years, Wycliffe has helped people around the world translate the Bible into their own languages. Today, more than 1,600 languages, though, are still waiting for a Bible translation to begin. 1,600 languages, yeah, still don't have their own Bible. So talk about the healing power of words. I wanted to show you a video about the impact of Wycliffe's work and how important it is to have words that you can understand. And in the video, when they talk about EWE, E-W-E, they're talking about English. They just shorten English to EWE.
A Wycliffe missionary from Minnesota came to my village, and that was when I got involved in the work of Bible translation. I was only helping him to learn my language. But as he imparted unto us God's word, my life was completely changed. And that was when I made that conscious decision that I should get involved in translating God's word for my own people.
As a believer, I don't know what I would do without the Bible. It is that key transformative aspect to our Christian faith. I mean, how can you not have that in your language? How can you expect to grow as a believer if you don't have access to Scripture? To think that there are people that don't have the opportunity to do that, to me, is just hugely compelling. A key way that we work as Wycliffe, we often will try to find a local organization that we can partner with. In the case of Ghana, that is an organization called GILBT. It stands for Ghana Institute of Linguistics, Literacy, and Bible Translation.
In Ghana, we have about 60 languages. 10 languages do not have the scriptures yet, but we have a movement towards getting all of them written and translated.
In this part of Ghana, there are language groups that have finished the New Testament and are moving on to the old. And at the same time, people groups that have never had scripture, they are getting scripture for the first time ever.
Anytime I think about Bible translation, I look at the impact it makes. In the early 80s, Christianity was about 10% in my language group. Today, as we speak, it's about 70%. And we see lives being transformed.
Work is progressing very steadily in the languages in the water region. For example, the Siwu language, for instance, they have completed the entire New Testament and the churches are using it very well. And work has begun on the Old Testament. They have just finished drafting and then consultant checking of the entire book of Genesis.
When I personally first encountered the Siwu they were eagerly looking to move on to the Old Testament. And so what we often do is we meet together with pastors from all the different churches in the area. And we ask them, you have the New Testament now. What impact has it made? Have you found that it's made a difference in your churches?
Before the translation of the Bible into CU, we normally use AV or English. Once you start preaching, the people are disconnected from what you are saying. They look at you as if they hear. But when you ask them to tell you what you just said, it is there that you know that they don't understand. But once you change the language into CU, you see that everybody is alert and they are nodding their heads. There's one reverend minister in Santo Kofi. He's a CU speaker. And he came back and he's telling me that, look, I've been a pastor for all these years. But now when I'm reading the Bible in CU, it's now that I'm having the full import of what the Bible is really saying. The New Testament was actually dedicated in 2009. Apart from the spiritual benefit, it is very, very historical because it brought two communities together. That is Apafu side and Lolobi side, which have been separated for almost 200 years. So seeing these two communities coming together is, in fact, is my greatest joy.
1 or 2 years ago, I received an email from our partner here on the ground. And the email had a PDF attachment of some parables from the book of Luke. And when I got this, I realized I was looking at the first scriptures that have ever been published for the Nyagbo people in the history of the world. God created them. God created their language. Of course he speaks their language. And yet, before these scriptures were produced, how were they to know that? But now, they're his words translated into their own language.
Nyagbo is a language that had just started full-scale translation in 2013. They are quite isolated from other towns in the water region areas. And so you see that their languages are very much protected just as a result of their remoteness and where they are located.
Many times we have been thinking that we have been somehow enslaved into the Ewe language. You see, we are not Ewes, but we are compelled to conduct our service and everything in Ewe. So now that the translation is coming, actually, it is enriching many people's hearts. Because you read the text in Nyagbo, you see how people feel happy and clap their hands.
I'm very happy that the translation of this gospel has come to Nyagbo. As of today, in the church, we don't read only the Ewe, but we read our Nyagbo to the understanding of the, even the smallest child in the church.
Christianity is gradually taking root in these communities. People are loving God more. People really are understanding the word of God, and the previous life that they were living, they are really changing from them, and they are living better lives.
In this part of Ghana, and really throughout the country, we're seeing amazing, transformative impacts of Scripture. And to think that we get to play one part in this, in partnership with Gilbert, in partnership with these local pastors, in partnership with their community leaders, that we together can produce this kind of changing impact is an indescribable honor.
It is my wish that every language will have God's word in the heart language, every language that needs it. Bible translation, it leads to church planting. Bible translation leads to social transformation. Bible translation leads to economic transformation. Bible translation leads to the transformation of lives. It leads to the transformation of communities. It leads to the transformation of total people groups.
So let us ponder our ways of using these words and how we can personally transform our own lives and other people's lives by remembering the words in here. Memorize them, share them with others, speak the truth in love. Empower people to read these holy, healing words of the Bible, but also be quick to listen and slow to speak. That is the formula for getting along well with others in this life and in the life to come. So may it be so in our own lives, in this church and community. Amen.